Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. From online stores to websites, analytic tools, and marketing, anything to start your web presence can be found at squarespace.com.
I'm done, hiding. I'm all about courage.
Yeah, I'm all about comfort and serenity tonight.
No way. I'm like Apple removing the headphone jack. I'm just full courage.
Derek, yeah.
I'm like Jack eating an apple, just bliss. Oh.
I'm Cypher eating the steak. Ignorance is bliss, but I'm pissed off too.
Yeah, and I'm like Switch with the electrical gun. Die, you son of a bitch. Blasting Cypher. Now we can all save Morpheus. Ah.
That was Switch. Switch dies 45 minutes in the movie. You got the wrong.
Not character. Like this.
Garrett, yes, that's. I think that line. Not like this all
not
the
like
time. Who's that,
time.
Rocco? Apoc? Is that Apoc?
That was Switch. That was Switch.
That's Switch.
Yeah. Oh,
not I was right thinking here. Of.
You guys seen
Joker,
the Matrix?
Moser, Lenny, Spark, yeah. Sparky.
Who is Sparky? Apoc?
What?
There's some character that's something Apoc. It's not Tupac or Apoc.
Yeah.
Apoc.
No, it's a dude on the ship. I don't know. The guy who shocks him, who shocks Cypher is that Tank or Dozer? I get him confused.
Yeah.
Tank and Dozer were like brothers.
I think it's Dozer because Tank is the big brother.
Yeah.
I want to say.
Believe it or not, you're still going to burn, you son of a bitch. Is that the line?
That guy's not That guy's not in the sequels because he stole a bunch of shit from the set and tried to eBay it. And he got into a big dispute, like a pay dispute with he wanted to be paid as much as Keanu or something like that. I don't know.
What? That's a huge problem.
That's
on
what
movie
I heard.
Sets.
I don't know if that's true.
That's a huge problem on movie sets because a prop for a famous movie suddenly becomes valuable. So imagine if you had like Morpheus's cell phone or Neo's AK-47 from the Matrix. That'd be, priceless.
Wow.
Yeah.
Believe me,
I tried. And but that's why he's replaced by Link in 2 and 3.
What a fuck up. You stole a couple props. I would love to know what the props were because I'm sure they weren't that great. But now this dude isn't in other movies that were like, although not critically loved, they're huge movies.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's true because again, I think they maybe used that as an excuse. I think there were maybe other issues with him, and they used that as an excuse or something to fire. I don't know, but I know there was some big drama with him and the Wachowski. So later, he eBayed stuff, and that was like, whoa, don't do that.
He didn't really have access to stuff that was available the days he was on set. So it's not like he's getting Spoon Boy's spoon or, the red pill or some shit because, Dozer couldn't go into the Matrix.
But since it was stolen property, wouldn't Warner Brothers be able to be like, yo, you sold that on eBay. Give us that money.
I think that's exactly what happened.
What we do know is that one of the Wachowskis was out there tweeting at people referencing red pilling. I think Elon Musk tweeted to take the red pill. And then political someone retweeted, quote tweeted it. Yeah, already on it. And I think Lana tweeted back and she's like, fuck off.
Lily Wachowski.
It was Lily?
Yes.
And said, fuck all that.
Fuck the both of you.
Yeah.
What's their new movie? Matrix 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the relevance of Elon tweeting take the red pill? Just he likes to engage the Twitterverse.
You know what? I'm not going to spend my time trying to figure out that or his kid's name. I have other things to worry about. I don't give a flying fuck about any of it.
Oh my god! I didn't even ask. I haven't talked to you all week, ladies and gentlemen. Elon Musk named his kid something weird this week, and I had a feeling it was going to piss Sean off. And here we are, Sean. You have to talk about it now.
Yeah, it's news.
You're the resident expert on all things kids. You know, you're like the family doctor of the show, Dr. Sean. Let's talk about the name.
Well, just name your kid whatever you want to name your kid. But, like, don't try to, I don't want to decipher it. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, honestly.
Does it do damage to the child? Does Grimes and Elon, by naming her this, him this, I don't even know what, it's named after an airplane. So it, could this cause a problem in the child's development as the resident child doctor, Sean?
As a child of a billionaire, the answer is no. It doesn't fucking matter. This kid's life's already set. It doesn't matter. Does not matter.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a nice prognosis by the doctor then. That actually doesn't sound that bad.
Makes sense.
The kid's going to be fucked up because he's growing up so rich. That was a given regardless of the shitty name it was going to get.
Yeah,
so it doesn't matter.
I don't know. I think growing up rich would be awesome. Name one person who ever got fucked up growing up rich. You can't.
You know what? I can't. I can't. You're right.
I better start making a lot more money because I'm going to name my kid some fucked up stuff. Let me tell you. That's on the way. Oh my God. The fucking sick names those kids are going to have. Are you kidding me? No.
Oh.
No, in all honesty,
I thought you'd name your kid something like hamburger or something.
No, well, that's, if I really was going to name my kid something weird, it would be something like that. What I can't stand is, I remember, Sean, do you remember when we went, I don't want to get too specific. I'm going to go real vague.
Go very vague.
In case there's listeners. But we went to, there was some business once that we were both, that we had
100% know where you're on. Yep. Gotcha.
Get stuff.
This is the time you guys shared that prostitute.
No.
All right. Go ahead.
But not we went to this place and the guy kept telling us about all the names of his kids, and it was all pop culture stuff, and it was like real hard to get through that.
Yeah,
it was just a lot of like, well, my favorite show is this, and my favorite this is this, my favorite game was this, and this. It was just like,
it really was like Rocco named his kid Zordon because that was his
really?
Favorite show. It was that.
It would be if I came on here and said that, yo, my kids Zordon and Rockafire Explosion, my daughter, and
I really like Moons Over My Hammy, so that's their middle name.
Yeah, stuff like that. It's like, it was more sad than funny. It was just like, no, okay, I gotta go.
So like Robin Williams named his daughter Zelda after The Legend of Zelda.
But which, you know, but that's still a nice name, isn't it? Or no?
Yeah, but maybe that could have been incredibly nerdy at the time. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe Zordon 20 years from now will just be some forgotten name and be pretty cool.
You know, I obviously gave my kids pretty different names that some people raise their eyebrows when I told them what
the
names were.
You have no room to talk on this one. Sorry.
What?
You have no room to talk on this
one. Oh, sorry. No. No, but what I'm saying is like, I thought like, oh, they're definitely going to stand out. They don't even cause a blip on the radar in these schools. Like the kids' names right now are so weird that like my kids fit right in. Yeah, it really is. That's
more what I was hinting at. I really feel like you can give a kid an unusual name. You're always gonna find a kid named like Basket or something. You know what I mean?
I legitimately, there was a kid I've come across, his first name is Skywalker. That is his first name.
Oh,
so,
no.
I mean,
it's cool.
Yeah, I couldn't do it's. It's really weird. Like, as much as I really like to, how do I say this? Impart a personalization on all kinds of things, or really make things, you know, unusual or whatever. I really, take great pride in that. But if I honestly would name, I would really want to name my kids incredibly normal things because I think I come from a background of Rocco Taco. Yeah, Rocco's Modern Life. Well, I think I come from such a background of that I would really just want to name my kid like Dave. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. And you know, like for me, it was the opposite because in my class, there was four other Seans. And same with Jenny, there was 10 other Jennifers. So it's like, I want to go weird because I'm tired of having everyone have the same name as me.
Sure.
So I get it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's kind of my direction with that. I'm not going to make up my mind on it tonight, but.
Let us know when you do though.
Okay.
Yeah. Share that.
I'm going like Kurt.
Yeah. Well, when I was in school, there were like three other Derricks, so it was like in the middle. not that common, not that uncommon.
Yeah. Were they all spelled different, or are you the same as you?
My name is spelled incorrectly. My name is spelled like an oil derrick, not the name Derrick, which I came to find out. So nothing would ever have my name on it, right? No name tags or anything. No sheriff badge at Walmart.
Really? Oh. Really? That doesn't seem that unusual to me.
I think now they've corrected it, but back then it was just one way.
Huh. Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. Because I was going to say I had all versions of Sean in my like kindergarten, first grade situation. Every version of Sean. When I was learning to read, that fucked me up. Because it was like Sean, and they would hand this to Sean, will you? And I'd look, and it's like, who's seen? I don't know who seen is. Like, I don't know what.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. I could not figure that out.
There was one year in my homeroom class, there was three Sean C's. Like, that's how crazy it was. Like, you couldn't even call him that. It was like, sucked. It sucked having that name.
I guess in that sense, being a Rocco was a good thing. There was never any confusion in that regard, but
that's when you got to pick a nickname, you know, change it up, be Spencer or something.
Well, there you go. I mean, everyone called me gay boy. I didn't ask for that. That's what I was called.
Well, you know,
see, I got the rhyming thing too, but it did not bother me because it was like, oh, Garrett Ferret. Wow.
Oh yeah.
Doing first grade level rhymes here.
I wasn't really like bullied or anything because I honestly think Rocco kind of sounded like a tough name.
I didn't know Rocco. Any Roccos. That would have been really, I was really unique because there was no other Garretts, but yeah. I would doubt you ever came across another Rocco, right?
Yeah. No, not really. No, I never did. It was just Rocco's Modern Life was the only time that name came up. And it was more, I wasn't like bullied about it. It was more just like, I'm sick of hearing it. You know what I mean? It was just tiresome. But not so bad though. Not so bad. Maybe I'll name my kid something derogatory just so they can't be bullied. You know what I mean? Like dumbass or something. Like, because then people will be like, well, he knows. I don't know.
Okay. I don't think that's legal.
Can you? I mean, it doesn't have to be dumbass. Like, it doesn't have to be literally that. I wouldn't do that to my kid.
I don't think you can legally name your kid dumbass, honestly. Yeah,
I don't think so. But then you say it's pronounced Dumas.
Dumas. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways. Yeah.
It's pronounced Dumas. It's spelled D-U-M-B space A-F-N.
Weren't there some people a couple years back trying to name their newborn Adolf Hitler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
It didn't. Not well for him?
No.
I think I know someone named Arian.
Ew.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I think I remember going to school. I went to school with someone. It was a girl named Arian, and I was like, whoa. First name, huh? Okay.
Yikes. Hmm.
All right. Well, on that note, theme song.
Brian, asleep up there on the is it racist button?
Brian, where are you? Brian! No! That's the wrong one! It's too late now. Theme song.
I don't think they hear the audio on that clip. Something's up with that clip.
Oof.
I don't know what it is.
Well, they can imagine it.
Anyway, imagine your own theme song.
Ding, 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 ding.
If I name my kid like Pissant or something, like, like, do kids say Pissant? I don't know what kids say.
Yeah, I want to say. Stop.
What's that?
They say it all the time. Pissant.
Your favorite word.
Go back and listen to some older podcasts and how many times I call somebody simp. Like, yo, this fucking simp over here. And people were always like, ew, what is the, what an old timey word. What do you say? And now it's like, it became cucked where everyone says it no matter what it means anymore.
Right.
That's true.
Oh my God. I was so ahead of that. I got so low. Oh, why did you say simp? What an old fashioned word. I called that. Man, I'm so ahead of my time. It hurts.
Yeah. I mean, look at that jacket.
My God. Yeah, I'm doing future shit so much, it's hard to, like, slow myself down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the influence of an influencer.
God.
I remember using, yeah, simp was used sparingly on our show for years and years. And now you're exactly right comparing it to cuck. I never thought about that. But it's so overused and became that.
Yeah, now it's become, it starts to become a fun, slang word to use. And now it's just used when, a guy is in a picture with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
look at this simp. Yeah, they're eating dinner together. Just has lost its meaning. Even when somebody called me apple cucked, that didn't make sense either, but I did enjoy embracing that. Embracing that.
I like I like simping, using it as a verb.
Yeah. That's a fun new term. Like
Sean, if you were to open an OnlyFans, I'd be simping for you.
What?
Bro.
I don't know what you just said here.
I understood completely, Garrett.
Yeah.
OnlyFans? What's that?
Oh my God.
Oh, Sean, it's great. Rule it.
Sean, you gotta get outside more, man. I'm sorry.
Sean, I noticed you're wearing a GrooveShark.com t-shirt. I got a new website you're gonna love. OnlyFans.
I found this. I was like, oh, this is a classic. Let's bring it back.
Yeah, Sean, look it up. I want you to be a little more well-versed on it. By next week, Sean is going to look up OnlyFans. And he's going to not only know what it is, but he's going to give us a list of his favorite ones. That's going to be, Sean, that's going to be your little homework assignment for next week's show.
There is it like, to be like good OnlyFans, right? I'm going to Google search good OnlyFans.
Yeah.
What's your definition of good?
Good OnlyFans or badass OnlyFans? What?
Well, it depends on his definition of good, but...
Is it like Patreon?
Kind of is. Yeah.
Okay.
Sean, it's a wonderful new service. You're going to learn all about it. It ties into simping and simp and cuck. It all comes from the same place.
It really is kind of the same... overall thing is Patreon, but it seems like it's used a lot more for more kind of lewd activity.
Okay. Hey, that's for the record, everyone, is saying that I'm old and whatever, but I never
calling
knew
you
this
a
stuff.
Boomer.
Yeah, even when I was 21, Rocco explained this shit to me. So this nothing's changed.
Rocco had to explain Sean how to have sex and what the boob was.
He had to tell me all of it.
All kinds of crazy stuff. You guys have no idea.
I remember being in ninth grade, I think, ninth or 10th, and the other guys in drama class, I'm not going to name names, but a few of our friends were really into South Park, and they would quote it, but some of the times they wouldn't even know what it meant.
Yeah.
And I was I was a good, sweet little kid, man, and I would still be the one that had to explain that stuff to them. You know, it was like... Yeah, they. I remember specifically the people I was sitting next to in that class. They were laughing about there's this one character who kept saying he's looking for Poontang, and they're like, "Yeah, yeah." And then one of them said, "Yeah, what is that?" And the other kid was like, "I guess it's drugs or something." And I had to go, "Excuse me, no, it's
something."
I seriously remember that exact conversation, and people were like,
but how did you know what it was?"
I just pick up slang. I'm just so ahead. I don't know.
He's always ahead, Derek. He's always ahead.
I just know what slang is, you know?
It is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was for a long time.
Do you remember how you found out?
Well, I remember I used to watch wrestling and The Rock would say it all the time. So really? I would say it all the time, not knowing what the F it was. Until Rocco explained it to me one day.
Wait, really? Did I do that
Rocco
too?
Did? Wow.
Come on, that's a joke. It wasn't Rocco. Oh, okay. For many years. I mean, I was probably 12 years old, talking about that. And,
What?
I don't remember where I found out the true definition. Maybe I Googled it or I asked Jeeves.
I love the, thinking back to the times, ask Jeeves, when, you had... No one had any real information. You just kind of pieced together what everyone learned. We talked before about how when I was a kid, they said you have to have white pee to get the girl pregnant, and no one knew how to get the white pee. but that was third grade talk, where it was just That's what I heard. He got a pee, but it's got to be white. I don't know how that happens.
I remember the way I found out about Poontang was I asked, you know, my grandfather, Larry, we've talked about on the podcast before. We went to a restaurant across from the sports arena in San Diego. There was a place called Foggy's Notion in the like 80s and 90s. And it was just like crazy shit all over the walls, like a Fridays would have, but this is just an independently owned burger place. And they had like crazy, like it said, "I want some Poontang" across a big quote board of like a really kind of like racist caricature of a fighter pilot in like a Zero, like a Japanese fighter plane. And it was a big quote and it was like up on the wall, "I want some Poontang." And I was what the fuck? I was like, "Grandpa, what is that?" And he explained.
Oh man!
While we were waiting for hamburgers,
that was always the worst too. Is asking like what that is, not thinking it was anything sexual, and then finding out.
Embarrassed.
Yeah, then you find out it's like, "Oh, I shouldn't have opened this can of worms. I'm God, like, damn it!"
Yeah.
But I was just thinking back to like where I first saw that and how I found out about that is because a fucking business just put it on the wall of their establishment.
Yeah, that's kind of lame. Yeah, I don't know.
No, I disagree. I miss that era of business.
It was something
anything else. Anything went.
That place was cool. They had like just shit everywhere plastered on the walls. It looked like a mix between a Fuddruckers and I don't know.
That was before corporate America took over.
Yeah.
Is my phone ringing?
Yes.
So fucking rad.
I was just going to say where the real reason, like, I knew about a lot of that stuff, to be real, is I've said this a million times, but I had the internet. The internet was part of, like, my whole life. I had it way before, I think, most people I know. I had it in, like, the early 90s. And so I just was always absorbing. I really wasn't looking at, like, seedy shit, but I was on message boards all the time. You know what I mean? So I just heard people say shit all the time from everywhere. And so I just knew, I don't know, I knew stuff.
You were on the internet before your parents knew that you shouldn't be on the internet.
Yeah, honestly, I really was. Like, we had Prodigy internet in like 92, and it was just a mind blower to me. It was like, oh my gosh, I can look up anything. You know, I was, Power Rangers was a Japanese show. Well, what was that Japanese show all about? Okay, I can look that up. Like, it was really cool. I really didn't use it for bad stuff, but around like 97, the news started suggesting that's all it was for. And so then it turned into, then it was like my parents going, "Wait, should we be worried?" And the great irony was that I really wasn't on any bad stuff, but it became like, you know, it became kind of warfare. Like, they would come in, I'd be chatting with my friends, and my parents would come into the computer room or whatever, and I would minimize it, and they'd be like, "Why'd you minimize that?" And it's like, because I'm just chatting. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want them to read a chat with my friends. So yeah. I'd minimize it, and it just became like, "Yo, what are you hiding?" And it's like, well, it's just me talking with my friends. Why didn't we want to see it? Okay, well. And then they'd eventually see it, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is an embarrassing conversation between friends, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it.
That.
I was a good kid, though. I don't know.
My friends and I used to send dirty pictures of our AIM.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
See, that's how you do it.
But we had, like, a code word, a code sentence to see if adult was around.
Oh, yeah,
So we would say a certain thing, and then if they said something back to us, we knew, okay, that we can send this picture now.
What was it? Do you know?
Yeah. It's so fucking lame.
What was it?
We would say, "Do the monkeys fly at midnight?" and if no parents write, you say, "Skies are clear." So
skies are clear. Did you guys read this in a book? This sounds like something J.K. Rowling
wrote. I was
a really
cool kid, guys. I was...
Yeah.
This podcast, if it taught us anything, is that I was fucking dope as a kid.
Yeah, clearly. Man.
Yeah, nice. As a kid, you were like a 1940s Russian spy.
Yeah.
With code words, filters, passwords.
Yeah.
Secret communication. Speaking of reliving our childhood and all the greatest things from that era, They announced this week that Tony Hawk 1 and 2 are going to be remade on generation consoles.
Yeah.
I tweeted about this.
Oh.
Because I had said recently on this podcast, just a few weeks ago, that the era of video game remakes is upon us, for better or worse. And I just reiterated that on my Twitter.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk 1 and 2 being made, to which a lot of people disagreed with me and argued that, no, the era of remakes is not upon us, but I don't know how you could make that argument now. But I'm actually excited. I'm stoked for Tony Hawk.
I kind of feel like they've been coming. I don't know if that's like a new thing, but
yeah,
it's definitely recently that like that era specifically though has been like the most like targeted for like, okay, it's time to redo those.
This one in particular, so stoked. And it's the same songs, right? They got the same music.
I think they're missing like 5.
Okay, yeah. Well, good enough.
This story came out today that there's just, yeah, like Rocco said, 5 or 6 songs they can't get.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I don't know what it is, but I kind of feel like, didn't we already do this? Like, maybe people can correct me because I've never really played this series.
Yeah, Tony Hawk HD.
Yeah, because I feel like we already did a remake of that, and then it pissed everyone off, and then this got announced, and I'm like, didn't we just do this?
I was excited for the last one, and then I hear all these things of why I shouldn't be excited. I forget what it was now. Maybe it was the music or something else that was lame about it.
Yeah.
But this is, so far, it seems like, this looks really great, and it's everything I wanted the first one to be.
It sounds like this new one is like they got a lot of the original developers and stuff like that, whereas the last one didn't even have the same physics, didn't have the soundtrack, stuff like that. So it sounds like,
well, yeah.
Yeah, so that maybe, I guess that's the difference, but I don't know. When I heard about it, I was just like, I feel like wait and see with that, but other people would probably know better.
I'm definitely wait and see with Rocco about this, but the biggest thing about this remake is that it's actually being done by the same studio that did the Game Boy Advance games, which actually had a very good mimicking of the physics for an isometric Tony Hawk game. Also the same team that developed the Crash Bandicoot remake, which has been like praised as taking all of what made Crash Bandicoot good and fixing all the things that didn't.
Yeah.
Those are the only two things that are the shining star for me about that game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't really aware of a lot of that stuff.
It's so discounted title, too. I think it's not going to be 60. I thought it was 40.
40 is what I saw, too, which is totally worth it to me.
All right, G-Check, which game are you more excited for, Tony Hawk 1 or Tony Hawk 2?
I'm 1 all the way for 1.
Yeah, 1. I'd go with
y'all
1.
Failed the G-Check.
Oh, Tony Hawk
2 is way better than Tony Hawk 1.
Yeah, I never really I think the only one I played, which one had Bam and he could do the jackass and hit himself in the head?
I think
not either of those two.
Two was through
was that three?
Like, maybe.
Okay. That's the only one I played. I don't know.
I played Tony Hawk 1 so much, and I don't think I played that much of 2. I don't know.
I played a lot of both. They're kind of like the same game, so it's good that they're remaking and they're just throwing all the levels in and all the music in, all the skaters. I heard, too, that they're rescanning all of the skateboarders into their current states. Like, they look it's going to look like old-ass, dudes skating in the 40s.
Did you see that some 11-year-old or 13-year-old kid just beat Tony Hawk's 900 record and did a 1080?
Holy shit.
Yeah, he was 11.
11?
He tied the 900, I guess, 4 years ago. I posted the video of that, too, on my Facebook. That was amazing. He just keeps on spinning. From a certain angle, it just looks like he's floating.
He's the new record holder.
Yeah, and he's a fucking child. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Well, I can't stop thinking about I don't know why I'm hung up on. They scanned them to make them look like they do right now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Is that, I can't decide.
I heard that.
Is that good? I don't know if that, is that.
Hey, what? Now, here's the thing.
They're all fat and they're gray.
It would be fucking awesome as a feature if you could have the young version of them, and then if you want a different character skin as the old version of them, I'm all on board for that.
Flip between them like Halo 2 graphics. Just like, young old. That would be awesome. No, I'm not even nothing against them being older, but it just, I don't know. I'm hung up is that, I don't know, the game was made in that era, so should they look like that era? You know what I mean? That's where I'm kind of stuck. I'm like, what year is this all taking place? This is affecting me more than I thought it would. I'm thinking, I can't tell you what would be, I don't know, man.
We'll just have to wait and see.
To make it the most accurate with the technology that they're building this game with, they would have to scan in all of those actors or skaters in this case.
So,
I'm reading here. They will not fully turn back the clock. The remake uses new face scans of the original skaters, so they will be showing a few decades of age.
Whoa.
So maybe their bodies, I mean, their clothes are going to be the same, but their faces are just going to look old.
Yeah, wow.
It's going to be like Mike Myers in Love Guru, where they put his old face on the little kid.
Yeah, that's exactly
awesome.
Right.
Best part of Love Guru. So I'm.
Everybody gets the reference because we all watched it.
Yeah, thank goodness. Was there any, there was no CKY presence at all in 2, was there? That started with 3.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that was when I dialed in because I heard that was in there and I was like, okay, I got to check that out. But yeah, I don't know if I ever played 1 and 2. I must have tried 1 at some point.
There was that one mode where if you like whatever trick you do on a ramp, you turn it that color and you just go against somebody else and you try to like do as much tricks on different things. That was, I played, God, like hundreds of hours of that one thing. It really was.
Yeah.
I remember forever ago, Dan Paladin showed us a game that they were just messing around with, and it was something like that. And it was like, oh, it's like the Tony Hawk level. That's all I could think of. So, yeah, Splatoon's the same thing.
Yeah, it was called Battle Block Theater. Came out a few years ago.
Is that where that ended up being?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just an early build of that, I guess. Oh, yeah, it was Battle Block Theater.
Yep.
Look up Battle Block Theater and OnlyFans. By next week, report on both.
Battle Block, I know, but that was just, you know, a decade before that game came out, so I guess I didn't put it together, but that's definitely what it was.
When does the Tony Hawk thing come out?
September, I think.
September? Okay, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's funny how many entertainment things have been, like, put on hold, but video games are plugging away like nothing. I'm so excited because Xenoblade is, like, not even 2 weeks away, coming out, like, 29th, I think. Yeah.
I saw a commercial for Xenoblade Chronicle the other day, and I thought of you, Rocco.
Really? There was a commercial? Or where did you see it? What was it?
It's like a pre-roll ad on the internet or something, maybe before a YouTube video. It was the most anime-looking game I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remembered we had talked about it. We had talked about it the other day, maybe like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
When we were filming the Last of Us video, we were talking about Xenoblade.
Yeah. Yeah.
It had that classic anime, like, rock and roll theme song playing while they were running across these, sunset lit scrolling desert plains. I don't know. Very anime.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is they redid the graphics for this and it looks more anime than it used to. I still don't know what I think about that.
Oh, wow, that's an actual art style change, though.
Yeah, they actually did change the art style where it looks a lot more...
I didn't notice that.
It definitely had a very anime-esque story, and the music is like just like you're describing. But, yeah, the visuals before were a little more painted, and now it's like... Yeah, they basically kind of... I think they're using the Xenoblade 2 engine, and they all just kind of... They look a little more anime. I don't think they look bad, but it is... I don't know what I think about it yet. But either way, I'm so excited. Favorite RPG in years. I'm excited for that. But enough about that. Important thing I want to bring up here. Important event that has taken place. And people waited years for this. Garrett finally beat Death Stranding.
Whoa!
Has it been years?
It took 6.5 years of solid playthrough for Garrett to get there, but... Is that true, Garrett? You beat it?
I beat it this morning,
Death Stranding came out in November, so it took you 7 months.
Yeah.
So why the long wait? Why what took
it's
so
long?
Long
game.
So what? But what did? Well, I had it beat about a week after I got it. So what took you so long?
Okay. So I really got involved in the rebuilding of all the infrastructure along. There's like basically two maps, two or three maps. But basically two big maps of that game, and you can build out and level up every porter, or not porter, but every distribution center and every city, every knot along the US. You can level those, you know, NPCs up to at least 5 stars. So I did that as like a mission when I first set out, is like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna level up everyone as I progress through the story. I'm gonna do every side mission. I'm gonna do every little grind delivery to unlock every item. And I did that on my first playthrough, so it took, you know, 7 months.
That's is damn. Crazy.
It was 154 hours I looked at the game clock when I did my save.
Wow. That's actually, after all that time, I think that's actually a little less than I thought it would have been.
Really?
Because I feel like Phantom Pain, you had like 1,000 hours or something.
Phantom Pain did really take years for me to get finished from the time it was released to the time it was ended. And I didn't have that much or anything spoiled. And thankfully with Death Stranding, neither. Nothing was really spoiled for me. Great, Garrett, great game though. Fantastic.
Which one is better, Phantom Pain or Death Stranding?
Phantom Pain.
Okay.
Oh, you think so?
Nah. Yeah.
Oh, Brian's saying nah.
Brian says no.
Yeah, I would still say Phantom Pain. I mean, it had all the ingredients that I love, but
the gameplay
was a really neat standalone game. I really liked it.
And Death Stranding invented this new style of gameplay, which was really fun, and existing in that engine was really intuitive. Everything like felt really good once you got in tune with that game. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, it's kind of a grind just rebuilding the roads and delivering the packages. It's just, you know, a lot of walking like people would complain about. But once you're accustomed to that environment and in that engine, like the way I got so clicked into the Fox engine with Phantom Pain, that game engine really felt almost the same, to where my hours of the other game kind of translated well into this. And I didn't have a problem slogging through 5-star and everyone, equipping every single item, trying to get like all the I guess there's like not new game plus, but there's a continuation of the grind if you want to keep playing. So now I was looking at that like, oh, what do I have left as far as like trophies? And there's a couple. I'm missing like one. I need to craft one item, and then like it's all stuff like that. All the trophies are like, oh, just go get this one last thing, or do this one thing you never did in like a menu and you'll get that trophy. So I might spend the next week like doing those little things.
Yeah, that I played it a little bit today because I did just the story and beat it, and that was it. But once I beat it, you can go back to all the maps and stuff like that. So yeah, that's what I've been doing, is just like whenever I feel like playing it, I go back and
do more. And stuff. Going back is easy because I've set up along the way. I already set up a zip line like network that goes up and down mountains multiple ways. I really when I was trying to 5-star all 35. NPCs in that game, I went out of my way to make it easy on myself. So I've done all the highways and all the zipline expansions. That game's kind of like endless though, because you could keep building and keep making shit more, you know, efficient if you want to.
Yeah. I'm surprised how much I've gone back to it. It's been a lot of fun. I really did like that game a lot.
See, aside from now trophy hunting and just doing these little one and two things that I'd have to like look up, like what's this trophy? Oh, make a strand connection with someone. Oh, I can do that from a private room. Like that's the kind of bullshit that I would have to go back and do now. But as far as like replayability, since I did everything along the way, I don't think I'm going back to this. I think I'm done.
Oh, wow. That's it.
I built every gun. I shot up every camp. I've made every car. You know, piece of equipment you can make. I don't know. There's no more deliveries I haven't already done. I'd just be doing double for.
Right, exactly. But you did them all. I mean.
But that's why it took 154 hours to finish the game. Get the one ending, you know.
You know, I think I played 200 hours of it. I didn't like it.
Was it worth that money?
I still know every now and then I'll hear someone say something like that where it's like, you know, I dumped like 220 hours into it. I hate it. Wow.
Okay.
Yo, this burrito tastes like shit. I ate one. I ordered a second one just to make sure. And I ate that too. And man.
It sucked.
Rancid.
This is a real quick tangent. I had not had Mexican food since this all started.
Oh, really?
It's been 60 days and I finally got... I went crazy. Wow. I got a full thing of carne asada fries and a California burrito, and I ate all of it.
Oh,
I went nuts. I missed it so much.
That's been one of the, if I go out for food kind of at all, it's typically been that. So I'm surprised you hadn't had that.
I know.
They stayed open. All the drive-thrus were, there was no slowdown there.
you know what? You're right. And honestly, I was in the drive-thru thinking, why have I not done this in the last 60 days?
I wish you hadn't said burrito, because that just planted that seed in my brain. Like, oh,
so good.
This.
That's already my Sunday, Wednesday night protocol. So
you get it twice a week, Garrett?
Yeah. Sometimes the third, if we're feeling lazy, and it's like, you want to just hit up the Bertos? Sure.
It's just the best. It's just the best food.
That sounds so good. I got Surf and Turf fries last week. I'm not going to talk about it. Whatever. It's so good. All right. Real quick, I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Hey, I want to pause for a second and just thank our sponsor once again, Squarespace.com. Squarespace.com is your all-in-one platform for building websites and online stores to using marketing tools and analytics. Also, there's no plugins necessary with Squarespace.com. They've been publishing websites for over a decade, and they have all the best-known practices for search engine optimization without the need for additional plugins or, you know, anything like that. I would say check it out for yourself. And when you're ready to launch your own website, go to squarespace.com/mega64 and you will actually get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Squarespace.com/mega64, 10% off their rad services. We can't thank them enough for being a great sponsor. Now back to the show. Hey, don't forget shop.mega64.com. I hope you didn't. I hope you remembered, because what a great site for ordering and purchasing all together in one convenient location. We have a lot of great stuff on shop.mega64.com, but I want to focus in on one thing in particular. This week, we opened up a pre-order for the 64 mask, the face mask, and you can pre-order for yourself, and 10% of it is going to go to a very good charity. We want to say thank you to everybody about that. Derek, did you have anything you wanted to say about the charity, or any words you wanted to share, or you thought
maybe it saved the children? Yeah, Sean picked them out. He should.
Yeah, you guys have a little more background on them.
Save the Children is an awesome, awesome charity. They try to help kids all over the world. And we just wanted to do anything we could to help. So we're selling these masks, and then 10% of it goes to them. So get a sweet mask and help out a good charity at the same time.
Yeah, that's a much better context. I feel like Sean's known about them for a long time. And anyway, these masks are really high quality. They actually do a really good job filtering all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we wanted to do a really nice quality thing. And hopefully do it for a good cause, and the response has been fantastic. So really tonight I just wanted to let everyone know about that. In lieu of a 64-hour special, that's the 64-hour special. I mean, it's been up for all week. They're going to be up till Wednesday, and we would rather than a 64-hour special or any of that kind of stuff, we're focusing on that. Everybody go check that out. I'd rather you pick up a mask right now, and we can,
and we should say there is no limit to the amount you want to order. If you want to get 2, 3, 4, 5 stock up for the next 10 years, so you make sure you have a 64-hour special mask anywhere you go, you can. So feel free, go nuts, hit that link right now. It's available.
Does the mask, somebody's asking if it blocks out fart smells. I can't.
This mask may be capable of blocking fart smells. New reports are coming out. So,
okay.
People out there, let us know. Put the mask on and have a relative fart on your face, and then take the mask off, repeat, let us know if one was better or worse.
Yeah. Give all your relatives beans, and then give all your relatives beans, and then stare them down and just deliver that famous sentence. Just say, you know what to do.
And then go, did you smell it? And then they'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and report back. Let us know. Let us know how the mask did.
So anyway, check that out. Shop.mega64.com. What were we talking about? Oh, of course, we were talking about burritos before this. So it was appropriate that...
Jeez. Bean burritos, yeah.
I do burritos like 4 times a week.
Really?
And Starbucks like every day.
Really?
And today, actually, I went to Panda Express, and this is Panda Express for you, so progressive thinking. They've incorporated the Japanese method of transaction. Little tray on the counter, put your thing there.
Yeah.
They take it, they put your shit back in the tray and hand you the tray, so... We're getting a little taste of Japanese culture, more so than you would think, at Panda Express.
Wow. Which,
actually, that's Chinese food, so forget what I said, but they're using the tray. I was, like, struck by that. I was like, oh, I know this system.
Well, that's what I thought. It's like took you back to being in Japan, I'm sure.
Hey, looking at pictures of Japan the other day. I had so much fun. We were only there for a couple days.
I know.
But, God, that was awesome. That was so cool.
I posted a thing on Instagram the other night. I was just up late at night thinking about that, how I missed it. And I had all these photos from that trip on my phone. And I was like, you know what? I don't even care. I'm bummed out about this. So I shared a bunch of just random photos around Japan. And it got a ton of likes. Nice. And I feel like a lot of people are in the same boat of like, man, I want to just travel and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going through pictures of that and then like New Zealand, but then like more importantly, I was going through like the tour and I'm looking at everything from that. And it's like, holy shit, guys, that was this year. How is that possible? It feels like it was like a century ago. It's crazy.
It's funny you mentioned that. Somebody just said this in the chat. I just realized, I didn't realize. I've lost track of time. Sue me, but I didn't realize Wonderful 101, that port comes out this coming week.
I've never played that game.
We should I love that game, so we should put that give that video another push this week that we did, maybe something like that, but I definitely want to play that. I'm gonna have to hit him up for some kids.
Yeah, could we play that on some friend dimensions?
Yeah, maybe we could. Yeah,
multiplayer would be fun.
I'm going to email Camilla and be like, do you have any goodies I could have?
I'm sure he'd love that.
Let's record a video of you saying that. We'll email it to him.
Okay.
Well, we just did. Just show me this screen cap. Just cut that out and send it to him.
We'll capture that. And I'm looking forward to that email that'll just say, fuck off.
Just tweet it at him and you won't get blocked.
Yeah, I'm sure. But anyway, yeah, I'm really excited about that. That's cool.
You guys have been watching any movies or TV this week?
I watched that Guy Ritchie movie, Gentleman, again. I liked it so much.
That was like the gangster selling marijuana. There is
a plot point there, yes, but that's not necessarily what the whole movie is about. It's interesting. Okay. It was a very Guy Ritchie type movie, but I like his stuff. Yeah. And Hugh Grant, or who'd you say it was again?
Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey. Something else is in it too.
Hugh Grant might be in it. I don't know. Is he
the one who got busted in the 90s for a prostitute? Yeah, that's him. That's him. He's fucking great in it.
Cool.
And
do you recommend it?
I really recommend it. Yeah. I watched it twice because I watched it about a weekend ago and then I watched it again last night.
Oh, shit. I might watch that tonight based on your recommendation.
There's a rap group in it. I don't know if they're fictional or they're real, but they're like, grime rappers, like
I love grime
junior special boys.
Holy shit, it
kind of sounds like that, but they're the toddlers.
I love that stuff.
Check that out then.
Like Dizzy Rascal.
That sounds cool. I like Guy Ritchie's style too. I used to love the movie Crank, especially in like the early 2000s.
Most definitely.
I haven't seen what else has he done? Didn't he do like those Sherlock Holmes movies?
Well, Crank was, wasn't that the...
I'm sorry. I meant to say Snatch.
Oh,
Snatch.
Yeah.
Well, you Snatch, got the same, Lock, you got Stock, the same and Two Smoking Barrels.
Right. But what has he done since then? What's he been doing for the past decade? I think he did I think he did Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh yeah, and they made two of those. I never saw either of those.
No.
Are you sure? Are you sure, Garrett? I thought we went.
I went to the theater with you and see that?
I'm 99% sure we were there. And let me tell you, I was so bored during that movie. I remember they were doing... Yeah, oh, I remember I because the this. Theater that we went to was doing like $5 Tuesdays or something where it was only $5 to see a movie.
Yeah.
And I remember being so like over that movie that I was like, you know what? I'm really underslept. If I could just fucking conk out right now, this was worth the $5. All right. And I just remember going to sleep during that movie.
Yeah,
because I was like, I only lost $5. It's okay.
Right.
The first Sherlock Holmes movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, all three of us went, and Rocco, you were out. Like,
yeah.
You fell asleep 5 minutes into the movie, and you woke up 5 minutes before the movie was over.
I hate sleep.
Five minutes
I don't. If
he
I'm,
knew, it was not for him.
If I'm tired during a movie, I hate that. Like, I want to give any movie, like, a chance. It really pisses me off. So I'll try to have some caffeine or something. But that movie, I was like, yeah, a little bit into it, and I was just like, oh man, I only paid $5. I'm good. Yeah, I was out. But I think Garrett was there.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and the cover has Jude Law on it, and I remember, yeah, he was Watson, Jude Law was. So I did see that in the theater with you guys.
I just remember a fucking thing. I remember opening my eyes when what's her name? Who's the actress? She was Rachel McAdams. Yeah, thank you. When Rachel McAdams, she's looking at Watson and or Sherlock, whoever the fuck, and she's looking at him and she goes, Moriarty. Yeah, it's Moriarty. And I remember thinking, I wonder how far into the movie this is. And it was like, wait, are they previewing the Moriarty character that he's coming to the sequel? And I'm like, oh my god,
it's
I slept
end.
The whole movie. Yeah, and then it wrapped up right away. That's the only scene I remember from that movie.
And that was the whole second movie was with Moriarty, which none of us thought.
And was Moriarty? No, Moriarty was. I keep wanting to ask if it was Cumberbatch, but he—that was the TV show.
Yeah. Okay.
And the only scene I've ever seen of the TV show was Benedict Cumberbatch like falls off a building and dies, and they're like, "Oh my god, Sherlock's dead!" But then there was like some crazy reason why he survived.
Yeah.
I also saw his 2017 King Arthur Legend of the Sword. Do you guys remember that? It was with that macho man, Charlie Hunnam.
No. What the fuck?
I went and saw that. I remember seeing that in theaters. That was not a very classy film either. That was a film where the promotions always had him doing this in slow motion. And he would be getting ready for some bare knuckle fight, which I think was in the Sherlock Holmes movie too.
What the fuck?
Yeah, but Charlie Hunnam
was a part of Snatch too.
Yeah, right. Charlie Hunnam was good in The Gentlemen, though.
Well,
handsome fella.
Well, I'm sorry if I spoiled that Sherlock show. I didn't know if that was a spoiler or not. That's literally the only scene that I've ever.
I mean, who?
He's fine.
Who cares?
It's all yeah. Honestly, who cares? Yeah. I watched Best in Show last night because Fred Willard did die, and that I think is one of his best roles. So I watched that movie.
Oh yeah.
And that movie, I showed the kids that movie, and I 5 minutes in was like, oh, this was a mistake. it's so dry that like I think the little ones were like, what is even happening?
Yeah, it wasn't landing with them.
But once we got to the dogs, it was good. But like, they're not. I'm laughing, and no one else is. Like, well, this is funny. I swear to God, it's fucking funny. But, but Fred Willard rules in that movie. He's so good in that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. You know, yeah. Once he passed away, everybody was sharing links to stuff he was in, and one of them. That somebody linked to, I've been seeing a few people link to it. There was some obscure mockumentary he was in the 80s or 90s. I can't remember which, but it was, he played like an American father. It was called like Being White in America or something like that. Like he played a really like sappy, like TV dad with a TV, very stereotypical TV family American TV family, you know. And he's really funny in it, but I never realized that his son, and again, they all look very stereotypical sitcom family. His son is Christian Jacobs, who is the Bat Commander in the Aquabats.
Oh, wow.
And there was kind of a touching post about it on, that's what blew my mind, is the Aquabats Instagram. They posted about it where it's like, yeah, a long time ago, the Bat Commander was, you know, his son was Fred Willard's son in this thing. And Fred Willard was really funny, and they talked about like working with him and stuff like that. But it seemed like everybody really dug him. When I talked with my parents about it, they said that was one of the celebrities they ran into when they were in LA like many years ago. There was a newsstand and Fred Willard was there, and they said he was like the nicest guy.
I don't seemed remember. Like he was super nice.
Yeah. I don't remember if it was them who said this or if I'm getting the story from somewhere else. Someone said this somewhere, and I'm not going to give my parents credit. It might have just been a tweet that I read, but there was somewhere where they said they were talking to him, and they said, "What are you doing? You know, what have you been up to?" And he said, "I'm working on a novel." And they were like, "Oh, that's cool." And he said, "Yeah, they're so hard to get through." So anyway, I thought that was funny. He was a funny guy. As somebody said in the chat, the only live action human being to appear in a Pixar movie. I forgot about that. That he's just himself in WALL-E.
Yeah, he was such a badass. They said we can't animate this guy.
Yeah, they were like, don't bother. Anyway,
that is weird. That was a weird choice. Remember in the theater thinking like, why is Fred Willard just being filmed? What is this?
But it was odd enough. I dug it. It was. Yeah. I liked it. But anyway, were you gonna say something else? Sorry.
I was going to say the Pixar thing. So, no, you nailed it. Yeah.
I think they kind of explained it away in that movie, though, because they show him as a live-action person, but then later in the movie you see, like, all the bigger people on the space station, but then there's a movie that plays that shows how people used to look, but then staying in space that long, they went through bone loss and, like, became what they look like now. So they kind of explained, like, that's what people look like, and now they're. I think they kind of explained it.
Wow, so, I'm not gonna go into it.
There's your WALL-E explanation that you were looking to this podcast for.
Thank God.
And I thought Death Stranding's ending was confusing.
I know.
Was it confusing, Garrett?
You know, it had the levels of Kojima game. All right, suspend your disbelief about what a ha and a ka is, and everyone's got their own beach, and like, you know, there's just like throughout the game you're learning all of these things that exist in the world, and you just got to go with it. Like, oh, okay, that's kind of like an afterlife. Oh, they prepped me up for this. But then when the ending starts to unfold and it's all cutscene stuff in between credits, that was like, oh, okay, it's putting all this nonsense we learned for the last 150 hours about this world together, and it wasn't like too confusing, but it's just a lot of like, you know, Kojima level made up shit, like nanomachine type shit that you just got to go like, okay, yeah, nanomachines will do that.
Yeah, and we're not spoiling anything, anybody at home, don't worry about it.
But saying that someone has a beach isn't a spoiler, but it's like that's this game's nanomachines is like, oh, you got a beach.
Yeah. I was genuinely surprised how much it came together, like, into a succinct, like, oh, you actually like answered everything and kind of like tied it all together. You know what I mean? Like the way they promoted the game was very like, whoa, trippy, whoa, surreal kind of, oh man, nothing makes sense. But it ended in a way that I thought it was like, that was like a good sci-fi story.
The game, it really moved me in a way that no game ever has. By when I started out playing, I was so scared to just walk around. When you leave the first city to go on your first mission, you're just like fucking walking around, like you're tiptoeing around and what. And then by the end, you're like so not afraid of anything, and you're running through and just. I don't go through games typically where I have that great fear up front, and then over the course of playing, like I really learned to get comfortable with like, oh, okay. And that they paced it so well across the whole gameplay. But I mean, here I am talking about it again, but It wasn't too confusing. And you're right, Rocco. It definitely, interestingly, wrapped up into a nice little bow, like every kind of thing that was there. And it's not even like, oh, you got to read all these emails and data logs to put that together. Because I will say Phantom Pain was a lot of listening to cassette tapes to actually put the story together.
Yeah. Yeah, that it was a bit too much of that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I liked listening to them, but it was like a little bit like, okay, man, there's a lot of these to go through. But at least you could put them on while you like did gameplay and stuff like that, and you know, whatever.
Interestingly though, this was just told. It was told like the way Metal Gear 4 is told to you. Here's the story.
Yeah,
that's kind of how Death Stranding ended.
Yeah. Yeah, and I dug it. But anyway.
We were talking about shit we watched. Did you guys see anything?
Hey, season 3 of Lost, guys. So we're killing
it. You're into 3.
We're into 3 now. Yeah. You know what's funny watching this again is I'm picking up on so many things that I did not get the first time. Just little things, but it's like, oh, that was that. Oh, I see now. Like, I don't know. I think it took me watching it a second time, you know, 15 years later to finally get all of it. So I'm getting it.
Do you find, Sean, that like through this watch through, without having that impatience of wanting to know what's happening, you're able to like see what they're actually trying to do per episode?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because like I remember at the time I like trying to talk to like even Eric about the show, and I'm like, hey, you're trying to like come to a conclusion about something that isn't even ended yet. You're like assuming too much. They're setting something up. Let's see what they're doing. And in season 3, I felt like that's where they started to really create the foundation for all that creepy, weird stuff that they did in the show. So I wonder, like, how does that feel for you, especially being as removed as you are?
Well, I mean, honestly, we just watched the first episode of season 3 last night. So we're just starting that. So I'll let you know next week when we're 7 episodes further into it. But I will say, I did forget... That show was so great at their finales and their first episodes of the season. Like how they start a season, they always fucking nail it. And it's, I don't know. I know it's a very old show that is not very relevant to talk about, but.
I think the finale of season 3 was the best season finale they ever did.
Yep.
Really good one. But anyway.
Anyways, whatever.
I was watching, I was watching some of that too. I was watching like season 5 this week.
Oh, I did want to say one thing though.
Yeah.
Real quick. My last thing about Lost. I bought these Blu-rays forever ago. They had season 1 through 5 on sale on Blu-ray for $108. And so I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't touched it since I bought it because I was watching the show and I never revisit it. I finally crack open season 3. There's no disc 1. They put disc 6 in there 2 times.
That's happened to me a couple times, dude. Every now and then, there's like a screw up like that. That sucks.
I bought it. What
season is it?
What's that? 3.
What season is it?
3. And disc 6 is just bonus features. It's not even any episodes. So I got so fucked.
How did you? What did you end up doing?
I have Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't look as good, and I have commercials, but whatever.
I have an extra season 3 Blu-ray set.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I bought it when it came out, and then the big box set came out. So we can do a disc swap.
I just want disc 1. That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I can get you disc 1.
All right, cool. Thank you.
But anyway, so I watched some of season 5 on that. You know what I watched that is really good, but older movie that it just came out, like Criterion put it out this week, and I thought, oh, I'll check that out, you know, just on a whim. The movie The Great Escape. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Yeah, I watched it a while ago, but that movie is great.
Yeah, it was really good. It's the movie that Rick Dalton was almost in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And like they show a second of a scene where they actually digitally put Leonardo DiCaprio in it. Whatever. Anyway. But I had not seen it. I didn't know anything about it. And then Criterion was pushing it kind of hard. And I'm like, that looks cool. And it's in that movie. And it, you know, whatever. I'll check it out. It was great. A movie about it's the U.S. Army is in, there's U.S. and British soldiers in a prisoner of war camp in the war. And you know, the Germans are keeping them there. And how are they going to escape? And it's a whole... The movie inspired Metal Gear. I think I had heard that before too. But anyway, really, really, really good movie. From like 1963 or something like that. So anyway, yeah, it was great.
The second half of that movie is so different from the first half, if I remember correctly. It's just very, it's good.
How does something like that look in 4K? Being is it black and white or is it colorized?
Just, no. It's just a regular Blu-ray that came out. No, it was in color. It was like it was in the 60s where everything was like super widescreen too. It's like, you know, like 2001 A Space Odyssey was. But it was great. They did a good job. It looks all like cleaned up and stuff, but it's good. It was really good. I didn't know anything about it. I took a chance. I love to take a chance on like an older weird off the beaten path movie, and that was one that I didn't know anything about, so I'm glad I did.
Yeah. What about you, Derek? Anything else?
I started watching a show called Mr. Mercedes, which is based off a Stephen King book from a few years ago, which is I'm sure you guys don't know anything about Mr. Mercedes.
That sounds familiar.
He's a serial killer who likes to run people over with his car.
Oh.
And he taunts this detective who's trying to hunt him down. What's awesome about it is the show was produced by AT&T.
What?
I don't know where the show came from or where it was supposed to go. I should probably look this up. But hey, AT&T, you should make more TV shows. It's great. This show is produced by David E. Kelly, who did Ally McBeal and a bunch of other famous shows. AT&T, fuck the phone service. Make more TV shows.
Where is it being shown?
Oh, I don't know. You have to look it up for yourself.
Okay. Fair enough.
Is that an older... When did that come out?
It's on Amazon Prime. Okay. Mr. Mercedes. I guess it premiered a couple years ago, 2017.
Okay.
Huh.
It just... I don't know where it was... What it was made for, though.
But AT&T produced it. That's so interesting.
Yeah, some people are saying it was a DirecTV exclusive, maybe.
Oh, nice. That's hell great. Yeah. So that's what I'm watching. It's pretty interesting. And I'm watching a show on Amazon called Orphan Black, which is a show about clones, but one actress plays like 50 characters. It's pretty amazing.
I've seen a ton of that. I've seen like most of that show just being in the room while my girlfriend watched it. That's a pretty good show.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I would always get sucked in.
Yeah, it's about a girl... It's a good show. She sees somebody commit suicide who looks just like herself, so she assumes her identity so she can, like, drain her bank accounts, basically. But gets sucked into this whole world where there's many, 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 many people who look like her, and she doesn't know why.
Oh, weird.
Oh, and somebody's trying to kill them all. So that's Orphan Black. Check it out. It's on Amazon. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who like that show a lot.
Hmm.
I did finish. I totally forgot about this. I finished a show I had been making my way through for a long time, for a while now, but I want to give a shout out. Denji Sentai Mega Ranger was a great show. It takes me a while to get through some of these Super Sentai series, but Mega Ranger was great. It was, I'm going to say among maybe my top three, I'm going to say it's not my favorite of the Sentai series. That I think I like Car Ranger and Zyu Ranger better, but those are weirder shows. I would say this one was kind of the most accessible of the Super Sentai shows. It was about like kids in a high school technology club. They play a video game and they totally Last Starfighter it. Like they play this game and it's like, yo, that game, that was a test. That game Mega Ranger. Yeah, we're actually going to make Mega Rangers. They're going to like fight and protect humanity because there's some kind of cybernetic thing leaking into actual reality and you have what it takes to fight them. Okay. But it becomes kind of Evangelion-esque by the end of it. Go figure. But anyway, it was a good show and there's a lot of cool robots and shit from the moon. So I'm going to recommend that.
Okay.
Mega Ranger is really, really good.
I'm not going to check it out. I'll be honest. And I don't think
Next week, Sean's going to check out OnlyFans, Mega Ranger. What was this? What was the other one? I forget what it was.
White pee. No, I don't know.
Okay.
How to get the white pee.
I'll let you guys know.
my God.
I said it was like Evangelion, and someone in the chat put main character jerks off. No, that no. No, it's a family show, fun family show, but it was good. It was it gets real insane, but it was very accessible. I would if you're going to watch Super Sentai and you don't want something that weird, that's one of the ones you should maybe check out. Mega Ranger. It was really good. I don't know what if I'm going to watch, and I'm curious your thoughts. I don't know if I should go forward and watch Ginga Man or if I should go back and watch Jet Man, because I watched some of Jet Man and I loved it and I heard it's a classic. But I want to see some of Ginga Man because I don't know anything about it.
You know what, Rocco? Jet Man will always be there. Yeah. Go Ginga Man. That's hot and fresh. You might be on the cusp of a new movement.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing with Jet Man.
Yeah.
The road less traveled, okay? Ginga Man all the way.
Ginga, Ginga, Ginga.
Jet Man was more... Jet Man was in... You could definitely tell that was on TV when... like the Aquabats kind of were formed. You could see a lot of Jetman influence in the Aquabats Super Show, like the way their opening is, where they all kind of like go into the frame and stuff. I hit the mic really hard when I did that, but so I don't know. I kind of want to see that, but Ginga Man is the next one in the line, so I don't know.
Go I'll chronological. Think
about it. I'll let you guys know.
I
what
I bet Jetman sucks. Just from what I've heard about Jetman, just sounds awful.
He's there, no Goo Ranger.
Zoo Ranger's awesome.
That's why we're saying, you know, it's yeah. Jetman do not compare.
Yeah. Yeah, Zoo Ranger was great. They got Dragon Caesar and all that. Anyway.
Oh, one last thing. I've mentioned that I started watching the show Schitt's Creek. I'm now 3 seasons in, and I can firmly put a stamp of I recommend it to everyone. That show great. Is
really?
Fucking great. Like, I love this show. Like, I really love it. So, if you have, it's on Netflix. I would say check out the first couple episodes and see what you think. It's fucking great. Anyways, yeah.
I haven't watched a comedy in a while that gets me just fucking howling. And that I wish there were. I finished all the seasons, and I wish there were more because
how many
the
seasons
character
are there?
Interactions? Oh, there's probably five.
There's six.
Oh, there's six. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the seasons are like 13 episodes. It's not like it's like a long thing, you know. It's okay. Like, but yeah. It's great.
It's real good.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like recently I've been hearing a lot about that. But that's not so bad. 80 episodes is not.
I wanted to bust out my VR headset for the PlayStation this weekend because I feel like I never use it anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone else has tried this, but Hulu has like a VR version.
Yeah. Oh, I have used that. Yeah.
I've fucked with it once where I just set up my virtual living room like, oh, I can watch TV on the beach on a big screen or like in a skyscraper in a Japanese forest. Yeah, and I thought that was cool. But then I actually went and started watching stuff in the VR environment because there's like, I don't know, over 100 or so 360 videos, all like 2 to 8 minute, some 15 minute like little news things, kind of Vice documentary type things, but done by... I don't know, some other company for Hulu, and you can just use the VR headset to check out all this 360 video. So I did like 2 hours of that on Saturday.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Where I was just watching you know, the pussy hat parade from 2016 in 360 videos, just like looking all around, and that was fucking cool. And then we went to Syria.
Dude, that's fucking, I wish I could watch the Pussy Hat Parade.
Was cool, but dude, firebombings in Syria, that was like being in 360 video with that was pretty crazy. Whoa, and then,
cool.
Some Jaguar. You have your damn firebombings. Me and the Pussy Hat Parade is all I need, brother.
Sean, you got the National Geographic stuff. There's like butterflies and fucking penguins all around you.
Oh,
can a penguin wear a pussy hat? That's if not, sorry. No,
that was
thank you.
That was my favorite too.
I loaded up a while ago YouTube VR, which if anybody is feeling like, you know, bummed out, they can't go places or see stuff, whatever. Check out if you have PSVR, you can watch YouTube VR videos. And some people have done stuff like somebody made the original Star Tours in VR. Where it really is like you're sitting in the cabin and you could look around the cabin. Like, it's like you have it to yourself, and it's the old Star Tours with Captain Rex and all that stuff.
Wow.
They've done stuff like that. But somebody in the chat was saying they released Rise of the Resistance in VR.
Whoa. And,
that's kind of cool, but I would also kind of recommend just go see that in person.
Yeah, I'm going to go tomorrow and see it in person.
Maybe just wait. Have that be your, you know, reward. I would say see that in person first.
So but, when you load into the YouTube app, it's the same app. It's kind of like the I've only done it with Hulu, but it just goes like, "Oh, you have a VR headset. Here, watch this 360 video."
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's pretty much it. They've put all kind of, yeah, somebody did the Back to the Future ride.
Cool.
There's a bunch of stuff like that. But I don't know if it was Hulu or Sony's own app or whatever, but watching a movie through PSVR, there are ways to where it puts it like in a theater. And I know a lot of people that have been like, "Yo, dude, I miss theaters so much. I've just been watching movies in that app with the PSVR helmet." So I was just like, yeah, maybe I need to check that out. Maybe I need to, I laughed at it, but maybe I need to just give in to that.
You know? Could you imagine if your PS4 Pro took one of your 1080p Blu-rays and like downscaled it to that headset for you to watch it on?
You can watch Blu-rays that way. You can watch.
Yeah.
But
it's not going to look as good as it does on your TV, you know?
No, but it puts it in like a theater setting and you can watch 3D Blu-rays, which a lot of people don't even check those out because you need a 3D TV and the glasses, but you can watch those with PSVR and it actually does a 3D effect.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, a lot of people haven't tried that, but it works. It's kind of cool.
Oh, that's interesting. That's something I've yet to try.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I would say check it out. There's some stuff coming to PSVR soon. There was a Darth Vader thing that came out for like Oculus a while ago, and that's finally coming to PSVR too. What is it called? Like Vader Immortal or Vader International, Vader Unstoppable. What is it called? Vader Unlimited. Anyway, whatever. Vader Immortal. But yeah, that's coming to PSVR where I think you actually play as Vader or something, but it was like a well-reviewed thing. Like, anyway.
Yeah, when stuff gets really well reviewed or does well on Steam, I feel like that's when we finally get it down to our...
Yeah.
PlayStation is like bottom of the tier now for VR headsets.
That's fine with me though, because I just don't. I don't have it the wherewithal for like to set up all that with that much space and all that stuff. Somebody mentioned, I've heard this more than once. That there's a Walking Dead VR game that came out.
Bought it.
Yeah, I heard that that's good. And someone in the chat said it's awesome. It's a murder simulator. So
yeah, I watched.
Sean, are you getting this?
I'm getting it. Thank you. Got
Sean,
it.
Sean, come over. I'll disinfect my headset. You can play tonight.
Oh.
But, I watched our friend Stevie B streaming it on his Twitch, and I was like, what is this? I didn't know there was a VR Walking Dead game, but it did so well on Steam, it finally got kicked down to PlayStation. And yeah, I bought it without hesitation. I haven't played it yet, but it looks and it's reviewed as being like really intuitive. Like a fully fleshed out game that I feel like we haven't got since Resident Evil 7.
Okay. Is there a thing, I'm curious how you guys feel, is there something in a game that you think can go too far in terms of like somebody saying, oh yeah, this is like a murder simulator, it's cool, like is there's that something you hear and you're like no, is there anything that you think like you've seen in a game where you're like, yo, too far, I don't want to play that, or does a violence in a game you don't care, like you'll play it, you
know? I was kind of laughed at when I said Resident Evil 2 Remake, it was like, oh, I don't, that's too much. Like maybe it was better for me when it was looking shitty because it's just so gross. It's like, I don't need to
see that.
Yeah.
See, I feel like I've had a couple experiences like that, but I didn't feel that with that game. I thought that game was still kind of like,
you know,
ridiculous. I never thought like, whoa, too real or anything.
There's a line, but I'm able to cross a line, but I like when certain software reminds me of where that line is. And the last one was, I think, when I started playing the new Mortal Kombat, like Mortal Kombat 10 or 11, where it goes into these slow motion, like bones breaking, pelvis crushing, heart, blood squirting through. And it's like, oh, wow. We're really doing the crunch down on.
I love that in the new Mortal Kombat.
But it was to me where it was like, oh shit, here's something that's actually like making me uncomfortable. Then I got fucking desensitized after playing 10 minutes and it was fine. But that was the last time I was like, oh shit. Do you like it there?
It, It's funny.
Yeah, I thought in Mortal Kombat it was like entertaining, like Gonzo. I feel like maybe I would say playing the latest Call of Duty, I felt that way because it was kind of like sneaking up and like press X to slit this guy's throat, which was like, it didn't feel like much of a challenge. I feel like if I remember correctly, this is very vague. I just feel like last time I played that game, I was like, this is kind of not that fun just killing these people.
Yeah, that's funny you mentioned that. I played the most recent one. I played the campaign. I did a stream because we got like a copy of it or whatever. And so I did a stream where I played it and I was like surprised. I felt like miserable. Like it just felt like, I'm not saying you can't make this kind of game or anything, but just for me personally, it felt so close to real events going on that it was just kind of like no fun to me. You know what I mean? It was like
Warzone, the newest Call of Duty.
No, what I don't know. What was the one that came out last fall?
I think that was like the World War II throwback.
No,
one I played. That's the last one I played.
That was the year before. It was the I don't know what this.
Mm. Yeah.
Modern Warfare. It was Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like, oh man, a car bomb went off in this shopping center. Oh man, you know, go shoot that guy. Oh, he just shot a civilian. Well, it was just all kind of miserable. It was just like, oh, I don't you know what I mean? It's like I just kind of like need a barrier between like, you know what I mean? Like just give me something a little bit like altered from reality, and then it's like, okay, whatever. But it being in that context, I'm kind of like, eh. Not that I can't, whatever, you know, not that I can't play it or they shouldn't make that kind of game. Just for me personally, I would rather have something a little more fictional. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Those the Call of Duty games, I think, are the only ones where I've thought that, where I've thought like, ugh, this is just miserable.
Yeah.
Well, those I think they try to dig deeper into. I think Call of Duty tries to push itself and has for years to be more than just like run around and shoot all these guys, multiplayer war. They started looking into like philosophical questions and moral and ethical debates, which maybe we don't need that in Call of Duty.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know.
They start introducing these real fucked up scenarios like, wow, think about it. Imagine if you're really there. And so,
They
I like the old ones.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't value that at all. Yeah, that's how I feel. But
it's interesting because I wonder if other people felt that way because they walked it back in that the new Call of Duty Warzone is just a battle royale.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know because I kind of walked away from the series.
Right.
Yeah. I don't really typically play those anyway. But stuff like, you know, over-the-top gore like Mortal Kombat, I don't really like that necessarily, but I don't think it's, you know, it's like, it's so over-the-top. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
sure.
Mortal Kombat was really fun. Mortal Kombat 11 story mode was like an awesome action movie. It was seriously like Avengers with way more violence and gore. Wouldn't you agree, Garrett?
Yeah. It would fill in all this cool backstory shit. I mean, cool is a relative term, but... You'd learn more about the Nether Realm and the tournament and all how
it's
these
cool in the sense of like, for whatever reason, it doesn't fucking matter. They need to infiltrate this castle in a fucking hell dimension, and they like send a SWAT team in to do it, and you need to go in and fight the Ultimate Warriors in there to buy time for the SWAT team and do some badass fatalities. It's like a crazy Gonzo 90s action movie.
The writing was really good. It was funny.
Yeah, it was, like, really entertaining. It wasn't, like, high Oscar-worthy moving art. It was schlocky, B-movie. It was really fun.
I'm just happy for a story mode in a fighting game that has fully realized cutscenes. Because,
I mean, back in the day,
you'd get still animation with text to scroll above it. Like,
I fully agree.
Mortal Kombat actually was the first time in a while where a long cutscene would end with two guys facing each other with their fists up, and I'd be like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been the biggest Mortal Kombat guy, but they're keeping that alive. Like, they're kind of a... Yeah, it's kind of a lost art having... really good full cutscenes in a fighting game story mode, and you know that energy of kind of like late 90s early 2000s, just like we're gonna tell you a fucking story with this, you know. I do like that. And Didn't they just add a RoboCop, like the DLC? It's getting RoboCop, and it's like the original dude is playing him.
Murphy? Oh wow! I know the Terminator. You got like Arnold DLC is out now. That's the one they're promoting.
Oh okay.
But it's old Arnold from that like Terminator, whatever Dark Fate.
Yeah, but RoboCop is coming next.
There's a big rumor that
they scanned the old skateboarder Arnold. So
Tony Hawk 4.
Yeah. He's going to look like he currently does on the half pipe.
There was a ton of rumors about Ash Williams from Evil Dead being a DLC character. And even Bruce Campbell was tweeting stuff about Mortal Kombat. And then all of a sudden, like, that all got pulled back. And they've changed stuff on the website to, you know, they had like a shadow reveal. And it was obviously like this dude with a chainsaw.
I think that's, isn't that like, or I from what I understood, it sounded like they were just trying to bury it because it's true. Like
it's true and it's coming, but it's so far down the road. Yeah, I think like maybe it leaked or something. Okay. I really liked all the DLC that they supported 10 with. Like you got Predator and Aliens and
yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
Mortal Kombat.
Oh. Yeah. You mentioned so many properties in Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was like, is this the same fucking game?
That's how that MK game is doing so well, I think, is all that DLC characters are all some property tie-in, you know?
I didn't know they were introducing DLC characters.
Yeah. RoboCop played by, Peter Weller was the original guy, right? Yeah,
that's what you're talking about.
He's coming this week, and then, it's supposed to be Ash later or something, but...
You know, as far as like gore goes, Doom and that Doom Annihilation were super gory, but it's all like made up monster, you know, it's like a demon. It's demon.
I don't even bat an eye at that.
Yeah, me neither. It's so cartoony and over the top because it's not something that exists in my reality.
Yeah.
But yeah, it must have something to do with it being like a shooter where it's people.
I think it all comes down to character context. Like, story is a really powerful thing, and if you tell a story that's, like, relatable and grounded in reality, it's gonna make you feel bad when you slit an innocent character's throat.
Yeah.
But Doom and Mortal Kombat, we're going to other dimensions, we're fighting Gonzo, super warlords. Yeah, we're gonna blow their head off with a giant machine gun. Like, it's not the same.
Did it bug you in Last of Us, Rocco? Because you kill... I mean, the violent gangs that you're against aren't really...
I just beat the game on stream last night. And in that last level, you mow down a lot of people. But I don't know. I mean, it's done in a way that, like, in the context of it, you're kind of like, oh, please just let me fucking do this. You know, like, it's not, I will say too, like, Naughty Dog's games are also kind of like have a slight filter of non-reality to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're a little bit describe that. They're not photorealistic kind of things necessarily. They're not out of today's news necessarily. They're just a little bit further into fiction and I don't know. It didn't really bother me in that game. I think that last level of that game is fun.
Not about games, but I was just, you know, when I watched The Matrix recently, I was watching it with kind of different eyes. When they're like killing all those security people in like the lobby, it's like, oh, those are just people though, that they're just killing. You know, before I was like, oh, there isn't The Matrix, it doesn't matter. But it's like, yeah, but they're still living their lives and they have a family. Like, you know,
the agents can take over them. They're all enemies. They're all sheep programmed into The Matrix. And if they haven't woke up to what's really going on, then they're just an extension of the government problem, and that's what Neo and Trinity and Morpheus are trying to take them from the inside out.
You got me. You're right.
Right, Rocco?
I mean, I don't know. There's you could debate both sides. That's really tough.
It just seems like, you know, they're living their lives. I know what you're saying, but you know, they didn't choose that. They're just doing their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know I don't know. I was always kind of gray with that. I don't really know how to feel.
Yeah. When I was younger, I was like, oh, they're getting them, and you know, it's fine. Yeah, but now as an adult, I'm like, I don't know, guys.
He gotta break a few eggs.
I think honestly, because I watched The Matrix recently too, and they never really go into like, okay, so the agents, they're agents. What's their agency? Is it a government agency? Like, how many of these government agencies are a part of like this Matrix Overlord
right.
alternate reality program?
Yeah.
So I think the way, whether those people are people or not,
yeah,
they're working for the agency, right?
Yeah.
So they're fair game.
Yeah. So I think you're right. That's always kind of how I stuck to it, Derek, is like, yeah, they're still kind of like part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another. So,
but Keanu was part of the system before they got him out.
Like, no, he was minding his. No, I'm saying these guys are guarding an important building.
Oh, I see.
So who knows how far that goes? Those guys could be programs as well. As we learn, also in Reloaded, there are programs written for specific things, and they could just be part of that. You know.
Okay. Well, then I feel better.
I never even considered that they were programs.
Yeah, you made me feel better about it.
Could be.
Okay.
I mean, they could be programs. And remember what the Oracle says in Reloaded. Anytime you ever heard about werewolves, mummies, vampires. Well, no, she doesn't say mummies. Werewolves, ghosts, vampires.
Gremlins.
Those are usually rogue programs doing something they're not supposed to be doing.
They've
exited the system and they're going weird.
Dogmen.
Yeah.
But then those programs...
Matrix is kind of cool when you think
Chupacabra.
About it.
Hold on. We learn in Revolutions.
Good though, time. Didn't have time for this.
These guys that are programs, even they have families too. And they said Neo says, "Well, I'm surprised you feel love. Why? Well, because love is a human emotion." And the program tells him, No. Love is a word. It's your connection to that word that is important. I have my own definition of what it means, just like you have yours. You know what I mean?
So now it gets murky. Forgettable scene.
What's that?
I don't know how nobody here remembered that scene.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Because people don't want, you know, it's hard to think about that stuff and people don't want to. They don't want to put in the effort. That's what it boils down to.
They're lazy.
That's a good note to leave everybody with tonight. Think about love, you know?
Take the red pill.
Yeah.
Love, Garrett.
Oh, well, red is the color of love, so that's the pill I'm taking.
Oh, shit, you got
Fuck
me.
Fuck all of you.
I'm not...
Sorry, I was just doing a Wachowski bit.
Fuck all of you.
I think that's
all right. No more Wachowski bits. I'm calling it there. That's it.
Sorry, that was the last one. That was the last one. Thank you for watching, everybody. As I said before... shop.mega64.com. Be sure to check that out and pick up one of those masks. They'll be up till Wednesday, so you have a chance. Get one for yourself. Also, check out patreon.com/mega64 because we're always putting exclusive stuff on there. We just released the new Mega64 Movie Club where we watched.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get the name wrong. Don't mess with the Zohan.
You almost said it.
You did.
I heard you.
Ever since we had the discussion, I've almost said it every time. I have to go and stop.
They should have named it that, honestly.
I don't get it. What is the difference?
I always say Meet the Zohan. It's not Meet the Zohan.
And then that spread, like, that spread to all of us. Like, Derek started saying it, and then I started saying it, too. So it's Don't Mess with the Zohan.
You don't meet with the Zohan.
We did... We did a deep dive on that movie. We're the only ones brave enough. But we did. We talked
about
that.
One of us really liked it. And I'm not going to say who, but you might be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a funny team behind that movie. Like legit good comedy writers that have written a lot of stuff that we love did work on that movie. So the question is, did it work or did it not? Or what were we surprised by?
You'll check it out for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch it on there. And next week's movie is The Black Hole. So, if you want to watch that or not watch it, that's up to you. But we're going to go deep into that, too. I think these are set up in a way that you could go either way. Watch them or not watch them.
In fact, I would recommend you don't watch The Black Hole. Just listen to our analysis of it.
I'm saying watch it.
Yeah, I would say watch the first 20 minutes to get the theme we're talking about, the vibe, and then you're good.
Well, no, Rocco would say you got to watch the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
I'm gonna split the difference. Skip to right in the middle of a movie. Watch 20 minutes. You're gonna get the best part.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Anyway, yeah. So check those out, and we have kind of a controversial lost video going up on there tomorrow too. So that should be good. So check out our Patreon. Anyway, that's it. I think for this week. Join us. We'll be doing another live stream all together on Thursday for Mega 64-teen. And aside from that, and that's at 4 p.m. Pacific on Twitch. And then other than that, that's it. Anybody else have a final thought they want to share?
I have no thoughts.
Goodbye.
No thoughts.
My head's empty.
Garrett,
Johnny,
what's that?
Johnny, add your final thought. Go ahead and end it.
Yeah, end on a thoughtful. Johnny, just end on like a thoughtful thing and like take a while to really articulate.
Yeah.
I don't know what about.
Oh, thank God, guys. Oh, I'm glad you got in contact with me. What I'm thankful for, I'm thankful that you guys got in contact because I don't know where the fuck I am. I'm in like some weird ass fucking jungle. I don't know where the fuck I am. There's some weird men chasing me. They're like speaking some weird language that's, I don't even think is like human. Oh, fuck. Fuck shit.
All right.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.